Thank you for calling AIM Homes. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time. Dial 1 to speak to Enos McKenna, 2 to speak to Adam McKenna, 3.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. This is Ruben. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing, Ruben?
It's been pretty slammed, but I wanted to make sure I didn't drop the ball. Is now an okay time? Are you done with your appointment?
Yeah, we're good.
Perfect. Can I ask you to grab a pen and paper and make some notes during this process?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. So, just the general question that I had was, I understand you have a loan from Cabbage. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what is your current balance? How much do you have out with them?
Off the top of my head, about $90,000, I believe.
Okay. And so I think from the notes, what I kind of just like to ask people, I tell people, like, talk to me like I'm five. It just sounds like the more money you can get the access to, the bigger your business can grow. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. The two questions that I had that were really, I think, were going to be really important here are, how quick is your sales cycle, basically, and what is your return on investment? You put a dollar in, how long does it take you to make a profit? How much is that profit? And most importantly, you know, what's the timeline?
Typically, about half of our projects are 4 to 6 months. The other half are about 9 months.
Okay. And 4 to 6 months and 9 months. And does is there a certain amount of capital you're looking for? Are you looking for, you know, 50, 100, 300? I don't know what amount you're looking for right now.
Initially, when we started talking with, I can't remember the girl's name, and then
Nicole.
Sam, was potentially up to $300,000.
Okay.
So that would be to try to get max out at like 10% of what your yearly revenues are.
Correct. And then I guess the second question is, besides Cabbage, have you applied for any other loans besides the traditional bank loan you're working with?
No.
Okay. Let's just say you borrow a dollar, just so I can simply, you know, I can understand it from your point of view. You put a dollar in, it takes 4 to 6, potentially 9 months. What is your return on that dollar by investing in these properties?
So I look at it, I tend to look at it as the amount that I put in rather than, because I take mortgages out on the properties that I buy.
Okay, so you, okay.
Then my money is that I typically use my money for the rehab and for the holding costs.
Okay.
So typically when I look at, and that's the way that I analyze my profits, I put a dollar in, I get a dollar out.
Okay.
So the goal is always to get 100% return on the money that I specifically invest.
Okay.
My money outside of the loan. My typical ROI on our properties is 15%. So right now our average sale price, $600,000 to $800,000, I get a 15% return on that sale price.
Okay. And then I'm looking at your bank statement. So there's a company here called IronBridge that seems to come up a lot. What is that for?
They're my lender. They're my lender for my purchase of my properties.
Okay, so that's when you're kind of buying and selling and buying and selling. And so you said your return on investment was about, you said 15%?
On the overall sale price of the property.
Okay, so that's the overall sale price. So just can you walk me through a standard house? You get a mortgage on it. Obviously, it's a pretty quick flip for you. How much money goes into like a traditional rehab?
So typically 80 to 100,000 is where we probably fall. Half of our projects being, you know, $50,000 rehabs, the other half being $150,000 to $200,000 rehabs.
Okay, so you're pretty much getting these properties to an extent and redoing it. I took
we tear everything down to the studs and either refinish what's there, update all the systems. On about half of them, the other half is addition, second stories. Much larger scale projects. So we typically operate in both Denver and Portland. We stay within the proper city limits, so the areas that are in high demand and have high fluctuation in housing prices as far as, you know, our neighborhoods that we work in. The goal is to buy a house that costs $300,000 to $400,000, sell it for $800,000, is kind of, so we look to be in areas where there's a large range of housing prices.
Okay.
And they're in the more established neighborhoods. We don't work out in the suburbs.
Okay.
The more established areas that are always in high demand. So they're, you know, any peaks and valleys in the market, the neighborhoods that we work in are going to be more sustainable.
Okay. And then you mentioned 300 is kind of your cap. Is there a specific property you're looking at where you see a potential pretty big rehab coming up? Or is this just whatever opportunity comes across?
Well, so, yeah, it would be, I mean, the money wouldn't be, obviously, it wouldn't be tied to a specific property. But, you know, if I've got the ability to access additional capital, that opens up, you know, when stuff pops up that, you know, maybe, like, perfect situation right now. For the last couple weeks, I haven't been looking for any houses because I'm waiting for a property to close tomorrow. Property
okay.
closes tomorrow, we cash out $200,000. I'm back looking for houses again. So I'm looking mainly for capital to be able to support those peaks and valleys of, you know, when we're in between or we're in escrow for the sale of a house. I mean, currently we have 10 projects going on.
Okay. So there's a lot of different irons in the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it sounds like to me, just to kind of recap, it sounds like you said about 15% between 4 to 9 months. But one thing you mentioned is you put, you know, a $400,000 house turning into $800,000 house. It sounds like if you can get the necessary capital to renovate a place, then if it's larger, there might be a much larger return on investment. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, typically, the larger the projects we do, because like I go back to that model where I don't purchase a house unless. My net profit is at least a 15% ROI on, you know, taking into account to what we sell the property for.
Okay.
So obviously 15% on, you know, 800 is better than 15% on 500.
Oh, so hold on. Let me actually understand this because I think I need to, I do need to make sure. So let's say you buy a house for $200,000 and let's say you put in, on a $200,000 house, about how much money are you putting in to remodel that house?
If I could, I can't buy any in, you know, that price range of my, let's, but just for, you know.
Well, no, let's use a real example. What's the lowest end you'd be bidding on?
Let's say, you know, average purchase price is 400.
400,000. Okay, you put a $400,000 house. How much are you putting in to remodel that house?
Say I put 120 into it.
Okay.
On average.
And that's all your cost, so you're putting 120. So let's say you sell that in 6 to 9 months. What's the profit on that? What are you selling that house for?
Say that would be those numbers probably about $650.
Okay, so basically this is in a sense because you're doing a lot of these short term loans that I'm assuming you are putting some money down on the mortgages you get from these lenders.
I put 10% down.
So your lender's coming to you, and I think I can understand this, but I just kind of want to read you a story and you tell me how far off I am. A summary: you go to your lender, hey, $400,000. They know you. They know you're flipping. But you're putting 10% down, and it's a real estate-based transaction, so they're covered. So, yeah, here, Brian, here's your loan with 10% down, no big deal. With a $400,000 property, you're putting 120 in it. You're selling it for 650. So, essentially, you know, 400 versus 650, that's about a $250,000 profit minus the 120. So your return on investment, cash on cash, once you kind of get rid of the down payment scenario, it sounds like for every dollar you're putting into remodeling it, and you probably have a very low interest cost because your other loans are so short-term for real estate, but if you put 120 in it, you're selling it for $650. So you're actually making a dollar for dollar. You're making
a dollar for dollar on my cash invested.
On your cash. Yeah. There's 15% of the profit, and it to kind of go that other direction, if you buy something that's maybe $500,000 or $600,000, it sounds like to me that you might get a more than a dollar for dollar because you're attracting a more qualified customer.
Potentially, and that's why when I analyze properties and look at things, the purchase price of the property doesn't really matter to me because I'm borrowing that money.
Do you guys go through a realtor, or do you sell the properties yourself?
My wife's a realtor, so
you don't have to pay that commission back.
Correct. We pay one side of it.
And
then on the buy side, when we buy a property, if it's on the MLS, she gets to keep the commission as well.
Okay, perfect. So here's what I'd like you to do. The only really thing I need to complete your file is your October bank statement. I don't have that on the file,
I sent it to Sam.
Oh, you did?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
I can email it to you right now, though.
Don't worry about it. I can just literally grab it from him. So I think the biggest issue for your files is it looks like Cabbage gave you 100 grand and that was kind of their comfort zone. Is that correct?
That's their limit.
Their limit. And what were your terms to Cabbage? What was the cost? How was the structure set up? Because I see notes that saying you're paying back 8,000 a month for 12 months, but I don't understand how someone would borrow 100 and pay back 96. So I'm a little lost, to be honest, on that.
No, that's not right. Let me pull it up here. So initially, when I accessed a full 100, I don't know, six, maybe 4 to 6 months ago.
Okay.
At 12% interest.
Okay.
They take a monthly cost out, so I believe I was paying, I want to say 93.33 times 12.
Okay.
112,000.
Okay.
So, and then I borrowed after paying, I don't know, I paid it down to 50 or 60,000. I took out another 32.
Gotcha. So,
but they do a monthly repayment schedule and they roll their interest into that repayment. So 8,000 would be a principal repayment. Another 1333 or 1335 is interest.
Okay.
Month on that.
Okay. So, it sounds like you've got a good relationship with them, but ultimately more capital can lead to more money in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, as any growing business, I mean, that's the constraint for me to go and continue to grow it, at the rate that I do, is access to capital.
Who's your biggest competitor right now?
I don't look at it as we don't really have competition. I mean, there's a few dozen companies doing what we do around the city, but I mean, there's 5,000 properties bought and sold every year, or 50, I'm sorry, not 5,000, close to 50,000 properties bought and sold every year in Denver. I'm looking, this year we'll probably complete 22. Next year I'm hoping to do 40. So, I want a very small percentage of what the market is.
Do you mind if I ask you a question, actually? Because it's actually fascinating to me.
Sure.
So I actually, I've been with Cardiff for 9.5 years. My specialty here is actually I do a lot of our construction-based financing, but I absolutely love the idea of real estate. And one thing, I own a few rental properties myself. I'm kind of very simple. Yeah, well, I live in a box. My friend says I have 4 rooms, so I live in a room and then I rent it out. But I'm done after the next one. But one thing that really fascinates me about your business is you found a lender who is giving you. You're buying something that obviously you know how to make it. You know how to take a frog and turn it into a prince. But you're buying something that sounds like it's pretty beat up. I mean, it's got to have...
The worse, the better.
I understand that. So the question is this. You're buying properties, and you're putting 10% down.
Mm-hmm.
Is this because the properties are below, like, a conforming loan limit, or is this because you worked with this lender so long?
Well,
obviously, 10% down is not a ton, so it's just something that I'd like to learn and ask you about.
So my lender is what you'd consider a hard money lender. So...
Yeah.
Most of what we buy won't appraise, and we need to be able to operate on a time frame of typically 10 to 14 days from the time I look at a property, put an offer in to close.
Okay.
And that's the way that I'm able to get my below market value offers accepted, is my ability to close quick and not wait for a traditional bank financing.
I understand that, but why is your lender okay doing the deal with only 10% down? Because from what I understood,
they look at it as what the after repair value is, so the market value of the property after I'm done renovating it.
Okay.
And
did they always do 10% for you, or did you have to earn their trust?
I had to earn their trust. So I finance 80% of my properties with them.
Okay.
I'm one of their bigger lenders. So, it's taken me 2.5 years to get the relationship where they will fund 90% of my purchase price.
What was, like, the first deal? How much did you have to put down?
Close to 20% with them.
Okay.
And then
are you a licensed contractor?
I'm working on actually getting my general contractor's license in Denver, but my background came from general contracting. okay. construction sales. And
are they a lender that specializes in your neck of the woods? Do they know these properties, or are they just a nationwide lender?
They have specific states that they lend in. We started our business in Portland 3.5 years ago. That's where I got to know them.
Okay.
And then when we moved to Colorado about 1.5 years ago, Colorado just happened to be another state that they lent in. And I haven't found anybody that can beat their lending program, so I continue to use them.
And it's like an interest-only loan based. But the whole idea of 10%, that was something that had to be developed over a track record.
Exactly.
Okay. No, it's very interesting to learn. I don't know much about that side of the business, but I like to kind of pick people's brains and hopefully learn a little.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to help you learn whatever you need.
You actually might work with some of my customers. We do a lot of countertop fabrication, we have a lot of customers in Colorado, so you might actually work with some customers of Bank of Cardiff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to follow up with Sam for the bank account. Just to address some kind of things in kind of the room. One thing you mentioned was people hate real estate. That's actually the exact opposite from us. We love real estate, although many people do not like it. They don't like it not because they don't like you, but because when they put these numbers into the portfolio, things can go very south very fast.
Sure.
Another industry that's reflected very consistently in that is car dealers. You'd be surprised about how many people refer us car dealers, even extremely successful car dealerships, because those things can go very south very fast, and when things go bad, it's not a hiccup. One of the challenges for your specific situation is actually the number of the deposits. You're looking for a cash flow based loan, and generally there's different rules of how many deposits you do a month. Is it 10 or under? Is it 5 or under? And once you hit actually under about 6 or 7 or under, there are restrictions in place simply because it's not a steady stream of cash flow, it's a spike. It's the whole idea why... We just actually funded a customer in New Mexico, and the biggest challenge for them was they have one customer. So they're a multi-million-dollar-year business, but why they were struggling was they have an 800 credit score. The wife has a 780, but it doesn't matter. They got one person that's paying them, so if that guy closes that's up scary. Shop. Yeah, and so I think that's the bigger issue with the deposits here. But one other quick question is this. I just like to kind of throw this out. You're looking for $300K. You got a loan with Cabbage. I'm going to do my best to get you the best available offer and get you documents to review tomorrow. Is there a minimum amount you'd accept? Some customers say, hey, it's 300 nothing. Some say, hey, look, if I can get 50 or 100 or 150, I consider it. Is there a number you're looking for at like a minimum?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the minimum to even pique my interest would probably be 100.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, if terms and everything are good, and then build a relationship with you guys and get it up higher. I mean,
max for unsecured capital, just goes up to $2 million. I actually think it's a great opportunity for your sales rep because you've got a unique situation with your industry and the number of deposits. So if someone works really hard for you and finds a solution now, by the way, sometimes all the solutions don't work. So one thing I always tell customers is this.
Sure.
We can work really hard for an approval. Sometimes things just do not work out. That doesn't mean we're not friends. We still keep the relationship open. We just actually funded a customer who was approved 8 months ago. They ended up not wanting to do the deal. They came back to us and said, hey, we've got the opportunity now. So there's going to be like no pressurized sales techniques here. We're going to give you what we can, explain why you got X, Y, and Z offer, and then keep all lines of communication open. If things do work out, however, though, you can be funded within 48 hours.
Okay. One thing you mentioned that you work with funding real estate loans. Do you do more traditional type financing as well? Or
No, I was actually asking on a personal note.
Okay.
No, we don't do any mortgages, but it's something where it's a kind of I'm somewhat dipped my foot into your life and your pool. Very, very shallow pool, but
you guys are you in San Diego?
San Diego, correct.
Look into so when we started our business, what I knew construction. I didn't know anything about real estate. There's an education company that's headquartered in San Diego, Fortune Builders.
Okay.
They're kind of a nationwide seminar education type system, but they also, what separates them from all the other gurus out there selling their investment seminars is their company, CT Homes. They flip about 200 houses a year. in the San Diego market.
Just in San Diego?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look into, you can go to fortunebuilders.com. Take a look, like if you're thinking about, you know, personally, you know, even on the side, real estate investing or maybe starting to, you know, try to do fix and flip type properties, I would definitely start there.
Okay.
You know, with the investment, we made the investment, and I feel it saved us from, you know, I've never lost money on a property by following kind of the system that they lay out. And where they're different is they're everything that they release out to their students, they're actually doing in their home flipping business. And so if they release a marketing campaign, it's something that they're already currently doing within their business and is paying off for them.
Okay.
So they're really good guys, and their system's pretty, it's phenomenal. So
okay.
But
I appreciate that.
Yeah, take a look into that. It's a yeah. I actually head out. I go out to San Diego quite a bit to go to different things out there that they put on. But they're good guys, and they have a great program.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. You said Fortune Builders and then CT Homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Thanks a ton, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome.
All right, I'll be in touch first thing tomorrow. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good day.
You too, brother. Thanks. Bye. Bye.